To receive. Anybody ready to receive what God has for you today?
Yes.
Amen. Just let God speak to you, because I believe He will speak some things that are pretty straightforward, and things that maybe you haven't heard for a while or just need a reminder of, but things that'll get through and that you're like, you know what, that really does touch my heart. It really does minister unto me. And we're going to talk about devotion. Talk about being devoted to God. You know, last week we talked a little bit about surrender and giving ourselves up. And there's lots of things when it comes to surrender we didn't get into. I had ideas on things to be able to show you. Different people worship. You ever seen people worship like this with their hands up in the air? You know, they're worshiping. This is a sign of surrender, right? I mean, it's like I'm giving up. I'm giving myself to you. Other people I've seen in worship where they literally are down, face down, like face planted, straight out before them, their hands and legs spread out in front of them. Again, if you've ever watched cop shows, that's another form of surrender, right? Where people will give themselves up and just lay prostrate. It's called laying prostrate before the Lord, or to lay out like that. And it's scriptural. People in the Bible did these things. And so as we talk about surrender last week, this week it leads into devotion. And I'll explain how they're connected a little bit here as we get going. But let's start with prayer. Father God, we enjoy your presence. We love to be here, Father, with you and your people and listening to your worship and singing and exalting you. But Father, also now for this time in your word, that Father, I pray that you'll use it as a time to speak through deeply into our hearts, Lord, to bring about life change from the inside out, that we walk out of here different than when we came in, that we are more devoted to you, as the sermon title implies. Lord, we love you, praise you, thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we talked last week about surrendering, okay, we're talking about yielding our life to God in a way that gives Him glory, that He gets glorified through us. And surrender and devotion, like we're going to talk about tonight, are intertwined. You really can't have one without the other. Okay? Along with devotion and surrender, there's also honor and reverence towards God. I mean, where we just acknowledge who He is, not just, you know, this big thing out there that created the earth, but we worship Him as our Creator, as our Master, as the Messiah. We reverence Him. But we also get into the next step, which I hope is next week, will be more on sacrifice and worship, where we're willing to just lay it down and give up whatever we have, good, bad, everything in between, and say, God, I am entirely yours. That we can just yield unto Him and worship Him with our life. Worship Him with our body. The body Bible talks about. And worship Him with our mouth and with our mind, our heart, and with our entire life. That we're worshiping God. And the Bible says repeatedly that once you've been saved, once you've been born again, born of the Spirit, that you have been sanctified, okay, set apart unto God by the Holy Spirit. That's part of the package. That's part of what He did. He set you apart to be different. But unfortunately, some of you are still living like your life is still your own. Okay, like you haven't been bought with a price. That Jesus didn't do what He came to do. As the Apostle Paul guided the Corinthians to get back on track, to keep their focus, he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. The more that you understand that, the more that you get that down inside of you, that my life is not mine, my life belongs unto God, the more you will be inclined to give glory to God through the words and actions that come through your life. Okay, because this is not my life to live. I'm living from God. Okay, everything I have is from Him, and I give Him the credit for it. That's part of that living and doing things heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men that we read about that scripture earlier. Okay, even though we understand that we're not our own, it still takes a conscious effort to fully surrender to God. It is not automatic. Okay, God will not force you to surrender to Him. Okay. He can't make you do it. God cannot make you surrender. People think, oh, God, I'll just bring bad things on my life till I finally give in. That's baloney. Okay? To put it nicely. Okay? God doesn't do that. He will allow you, your own free will, to make a choice and a decision to love Him, to honor Him, to serve Him with your life. He can't make you do it. He loves you so much that He gave you a free will. He gave you that decision maker, your mind, to be able to make a decision and a choice for yourself. In other words, if you want to outright rebel against God, you can do that. Everybody in here knows somebody that has gone that route. Maybe at one time they were even a strong believer, but at this point in life they've let go. They're gone. They're off in rebellion, doing their own thing. God will allow you to do that if you choose to live in compromise. Okay, and accept the ways and the influence of the world and the carnal world around you as much as you accept and believe and rely on the power of God, God will let you do that too. Okay, one foot in, I call it. You got one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and God will allow you to do that. Some of you are there right now, one foot in the world. Got some carnality you're not letting go of. Okay, to surrender to God is an act of your free will. It's your choice. It's a decision that you make. It's based on your deepest convictions about what you think about that, whether you should or shouldn't, whether I want to let it go or whether I do let it go. You cross a line when you get to the do, okay, and you let it go. You know, I mentioned that earlier, but when law enforcement surrounds bad guys and they have no way out, okay, they either can fight. They can fight their way and see how that works for them. You know, sometimes that resisting and fighting back is going to end up with nothing. They're not going to get anywhere. They're still going to be either captured or dead. Or they can, of their own free will, make a choice to surrender. They can come out with their hands up. Okay, they can throw themselves down on the ground. Okay, and allow themselves to be taken over. That surrender, to be taken over, rendered powerless. You're given that over to them completely and entirely. To surrender is an act of your will. It's a decision that you make. Okay? Surrendering to God is that decision or a choice that you make, and nobody else can make that choice for you. Okay? Nobody can make you surrender. It's something that you have to finally do. Others will influence you, they will encourage you, they will suggest or whatever, like even as I'm doing today. But at the end of the day, fully giving yourself over to God and His Holy Spirit is a decision that you personally have to make. Nobody else can make it for you. Okay? It's like I've said before, that when you're a true believer, when you're yielded to God, when you're committed to Jesus, you're dedicated your life to Him, it's going to show in that you are willing to lay your life down for Jesus. You're going to say, end of the day, I'm nothing without Jesus. That's being fully committed to Him. If you were given the choice today to say, yes, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you're going to be punished for it, or you're going to maybe die for it, would you do it? Ask yourself. How committed are you to Jesus? Would you lay it down and say, I'm still a disciple. I don't care what the punishment or the consequence is. I am a disciple, a follower, and a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. Or would you say, well, you know, I never really totally got the whole Him being the Messiah thing, and I guess if you want me to believe something different, I can go along with that. Are you influenceable? Could somebody sway you off of Jesus and say, you know what? Punishment over here, if you stay with Jesus or come with me, it's going to be good. Could you hold your ground and say, nope, I'm still a disciple of Jesus Christ? That choice is presented to you every single day. It may not be the life-threatening kind, but you are presented with a choice. Because the world around you wants you to go in a different direction. The world around you wants you to believe something else about Jesus. The world around you wants you to believe that money or friends or comfort or prestige or fun, okay, if it feels good, do it, man. You know, that kind of worldly pull is there every single day. It is a constant battle. They want that to be the real God of your life. Okay? We talked a little bit the other day on a Wednesday night about humanism and how huge that is in our society today, where the God of self rules. You know, I'm going to do whatever feels good for me. That's my God. Okay? And that's what's going on right now. Peter told Jesus that he was willing to lay his life down for him. You remember that? Lord, whatever, wherever you go, I will lay my life down for you. But Jesus reminded him that the proof is not in just what you say, but it's in what you actually do. Okay? When you're confronted with that moment, when you have that decision to make, what will you do at that moment? John 13, 37. So where Peter says unto him, says, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him and said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice or three times. As you know the rest of the story, he did deny Jesus. He had the opportunity. Aren't thou one of those that was with Jesus? Nope, not me. And another time he actually got to the point where he says, I never even knew him. I don't even know him. I don't know who you're talking about. Which some of you have probably done on occasion too. Maybe not outright saying, I don't know Jesus. But you've set your Christian faith aside. Okay, went along with the world, at least for a time, to avoid some persecution, to avoid some uncomfortable feelings, to avoid feeling like you don't fit in. But if you know the story of Peter, Peter repented, right? When he got alone with God, he bawled his eyes out once he realized what he had done. Okay, and that can be the same for you and me. Okay, once we realize that we've done that, we've given into the way of the world, we can repent, go back to God, say, sorry about that. That's not who I want to be. That's not who I am. I'm going forward with you on the other side of this. God will take you right back. It's not a question for God. So Peter repented. He got back on track. He shored up his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to the point that he would never turn away from Jesus again or deny him. And actually a few years later, he did give his life for Jesus Christ. He was crucified on a cross, okay, by the Emperor Nero, Caesar Augustus, Augustus Caesar. He ended up making eventually the ultimate sacrifice for Jesus. He laid it down. The rumor, the story in the disclosures on Peter's death say that he wouldn't even allow them to crucify him standing up or upright. He wanted to be crucified upside down. He didn't see himself at that point as even worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Christ. If you're ever crucified, do it standing up, because you're worthy, okay? But I know that that was honorable for him at that moment. But when Jesus was lining out the hypocrites, the Pharisees, okay, the ones that were shining up the outside and making themselves look great on the outside, but inside their heart was far from God. They made themselves look holy and proper and righteous on the outside, but inside their heart was still far from God. Their devotion, their sincerity was sorely lacking, and Jesus called them on it. Matthew 15:7 says, you hypocrites, you're play actors, you're like you're acting in a play. Said, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but yet their heart is far from me. Okay, just to say it with your mouth is not the end result. That's only the beginning. Some of you prayed a prayer and gave your life to Christ and said, Lord Jesus, I give my life unto you. Okay, that was not the end. That was the beginning. Okay, that's not the end result. Having people pray a prayer like that is not where it ends. And for you and I, when we gave our life to Christ, it didn't stop there. That's where our life in Christ began. That's where our true commitment and devotion. We made that decision. That's awesome. We have to make that. But now it's a daily lay my life down for Christ. Jesus said in John 15:13, he said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he did just that for us, to set that example. He gave everything for you and I. The punishment, the bearing of the beatings and the whippings and the crucifying on the cross, that crucifixion. He did all that on our behalf. He said he would do it, and then he followed through and set that example for us. Matthew 10:32, Jesus says, wherefore, therefore, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Next verse. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he taketh not his cross and followeth after me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Now I know a lot of people will skip over verses like these. Or they sort of water them down or downplay them a little bit so it doesn't seem to imply what it seems to imply. That Jesus Christ is requesting to be number one above all else. As your devotion, your commitment, your passion, your sincerity and your heart is all aimed at Him above all else. The reality is that these words were spoken by the Son of God as a clear and consistent warning for us. It was something that we ought to take note of, because God expects you to be willing to lay down your life for Him. That's the expectation. Okay, we forget that. We live in la-la land. You know, skipping through life like it's all great and hunky-dory all the time. And the reality is the day is coming where they will kill you thinking they're doing God's service. The world is not on track with God. Okay, they're going to be used in lots of different ways, but it's not to bring glory to God in that way. They're going to be punishing or killing you thinking they're doing God some sort of a service. Now, it may or may not come down to you in your life, you having to physically lay down your life to Christ. But I tell you that you better be willing if the circumstance calls for it. You're only going to get that one shot at the end, that one chance to say, yep, I'm sticking with Jesus. Okay? To say it wrong at the wrong moment is done. Okay? There's no more chance after that. Here's a very strong statement, if nothing else has been strong this morning, but here's a very strong statement that some of you need to ponder on. If you're not willing to lay down your life for Jesus Christ, maybe you're not even a Christian. Okay? Because if He laid His life down for me, and I have taken up the cross, I fully understand that my life is zero without Him. Nothing. Not worth living. And so if I'm not willing to lay it down for Him at that moment, I have to decide if I was really playing a game this whole time. If I was really in hypocrisy like the Pharisees, if I was really dishonoring Him with my mouth and my lips, but my heart really wasn't in it. You have to ask yourself that. Confirm it. Shore it up in your mind. Okay? Some people are just going through the motions of Christianity. Okay? You might be like the millions of people, and I mean millions of people on this planet, that say they are Christians and yet their heart is far from God. It's really about them. Now, you guys are in church this morning. Hopefully not just because your parents made you come or somebody told you you had to go or those kind of things. Maybe your family always went to church on Sundays, so you always go to church on Sundays. Okay, maybe that's why you're here. Okay, maybe you're going through the motions without any real devotion to God. If your life is still more about you than it is about God, that will help to answer that. The good news is that there has never been a day that's any better than today to get right with God. There's never been a time or a better opportunity to say, I want to be a worshiper of the one true God. I want to lay down my life and take up the cross even today. I want to yield my entire life unto Him, knowing that today is an awesome day to fully surrender and to yield yourself in devotion unto God. You know, we think of guys like Peter, and he laid down his life, and Paul, we know, punished and beaten and sacrificed for the name of Christ. We think of Daniel that was thrown in the lion's den. You remember that story? Because he wouldn't bow down to their other god. He wouldn't stop worshiping God like he knew that he was supposed to. And those guys, sometimes we think of them as exceptional in their faith. I mean, after all, they made the Bible, right? We're reading about them thousands of years later. Those guys had something figured out. But I want to tell you about a more modern day person that was devoted to God. Somebody that gave her life for the name of Jesus and spent it serving Him and honoring Him with what she did in her life. I don't know how many of you have heard of Rachel Joy Scott. Okay, also known as Rachel Scott, more commonly known of. Rachel was the first of 13 to die in the school shooting down in Columbine, the Columbine High School, okay, down in Littleton, Colorado. She was the first of the 13 to die. It was a horrific situation in which 12 students and one teacher were killed. 23 others were wounded, severely injured, by two of their own fellow classmates, schoolmates, students. These guys had planned it out for months ahead of time, put videos out on it. They knew exactly what they were going to do and when they were going to do it, and they set out to do that. Well, Rachel Scott had accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior 6 years before that day. She was 11 years old when she gave her life to Christ, and she died when she was 17 on that campus, that school campus. She was known among her friends and her family as being extremely devoted to Jesus Christ. Her love for Jesus emanated through her life. She rarely constrained or held back from telling the people around her about her Savior, Jesus Christ. By the time she was 16 years old, many of her closest childhood friends had distanced themselves from her. They rejected her because of her outspoken faith in Christ. So Rachel knew what persecution felt like. She knew what rejection for the name of Christ was all about. So often she wrote in her journal about the persecution that her peers subjected her to because of her faith. It's reported that at the time of her death, after already being shot in the chest, in the arm, and in the leg, that one of the assailants, Eric Harris, approached her, lifted up her head by her hair as she laid crying on the ground, and asked if she believed in God. Rachel had not denied God up to that point, but she had the opportunity right then and there. But she had never tried to hide her faith from anyone. So she responded the only way that she knew. She said, "You know that I do." He then replied, "Well, go be with him." And he shot her for the last time. I had the opportunity many years ago to actually meet Rachel's dad. As he traveled across the country, he was sharing her story. Okay, going around talking about the things that had happened during her life, but then afterwards he was making it count. He said that after her death, they had discovered 6 diaries of hers that were almost entirely devoted to her endeavors of spreading the message of Jesus Christ. and of her efforts to, quote, reach the unreached. That's who she was after. Many of her writings were addressed directly to God as prayers or conversation that she had with God. And on the cover of one of the two journals that she had in possession on the day that she died, in which they say a bullet was actually found lodged in one of them, she had written two statements. One was, "I won't be labeled as average." And another, on the other cover, it said, "I write not for the sake of glory, nor for the sake of fame, not for the sake of success, but for the sake of my soul." Her statement reminds me of what the Apostle Paul cried out when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, he says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." He had to do it. She had to be who God had called her to be. In other writings, Rachel Scott expressed her efforts to reach the lost through her acts of kindness and compassion. And on one occasion, it included actually writing a prayer for one of the perpetrators of the Columbine shootings. She had prayed for him. Because of the way of that she lived her life and the things that she wrote in her journals, Rachel's dad started Rachel's Challenge, which some of you have heard of. It has become the most popular and widely used assembly program in America, aimed at eliminating bullying and discrimination and school violence. So the legacy and the message of Rachel's life continues on almost 20 years after this incident. You know, many of us will never be put into a situation where we will need to physically lay our life down for Christ. We pray not, right? It's not a scenario we want to encounter. We may never have to endure that kind of physical sacrifice that Peter or Paul or Daniel or even Rachel had to endure. But we are called by God to be fully surrendered unto Him, to be wholly His. Christ laid down His life so that we can have life. And the sincerity of our passion and our devotion is a strong evidence of the commitment and our commitment to stand with Him no matter what. Now, I want to give you that opportunity. It's a small crowd today, but give you that opportunity to deepen your devotion to your Savior. Okay, let's bow our heads before God. Father God, You know the passions of our hearts. You know right where we're at on the inside. You know the level of our commitment that we have towards You. You know the depth of the sincerity in our hearts, how sincere we are in our relationship with You. We ask of You this morning to take us deeper. Strengthen our commitment to You. We know that You will not force us to do this. But Lord God, as an act of our free will, we lay down our life and we take up the cross today. I don't know if any of you are so inclined, but if you are, you can repeat this after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I give You my life. Have Your way in me. Lead me and guide me to do those things that give glory to You. As these words are coming out of my mouth, so will my actions be. I am committed, I am yielded, and I am fully devoted to You. These things I say in Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Let's go forth from here as a people that loves and honors God with our life. Laid down. There's nothing more important. Nothing. There's no job, no money, no prestige, no nothing that is more important than God. It has got to be put in right perspective. And I pray that this morning we put that in perspective. So, praise God.